Today, we'll be looking at Psalm 150. Let me read. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so they all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Is this ever a thought on your mind? Words on your lips? A prayer you bring before God? The Psalms were often songs that the Israelites would sing before God. This psalm was no different. Yet I sort of really wonder what kind of melody, what kind of tune this psalm would start with. Because this psalm does not start with a whimper, but with a shout. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. An emphatic plea, repeated. Where there's repetition, you know the message is very clear and very strong. While we don't know when this psalm was written, we do know that this psalm was traditionally sung at the Passover by Israelites. And at the center of the Passover was a simple message. God has shown his mercy. God saved Israel out of Egypt. No work of their own, but God alone. He has shown mercy to the houses of Israel and punished the Egyptians. He has passed over the houses with the blood of the innocent Passover lamb on the door. And this psalm carries the same message. Not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. When Israel celebrated the Passover, they were called to remember this message. I wonder how different our lives would be if these were the first words we said every morning. You wake up, stretch, and say, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Just a thought. Perhaps it would indeed better prepare us for the day ahead, because the voice of the psalm is very different from the voice of the world around us. The world says this. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Oh, what a familiar message. A message that has echoed through all of history. A message we still hear today. For Israel, the nations laughed and mocked when Assyria plundered and destroyed the kingdom of Israel in the north. Where is their God to defend them? They laughed and mocked when Babylon took the southern kingdom of Judah. Their temple destroyed, the people in exile. Where is the God of Israel? Oh, but this message is familiar because this message wasn't just delivered or heard by Israel. It was there. It was there at the cross as well. When the crowd, the chief priests and the scribes mocked Jesus, He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. Where is your God? It was there at the very beginning when the serpent tempted Eve. Where is your God? He isn't here. Eat this fruit and become like him. It's the message of the world today. Where is your God? Where's the evidence? I can't see him. If God is real, why doesn't he convince me now? Let me live my own life. Where is his power? What can your God do? We know the message. Where is God? What can he do? What power does he have? Why should I trust him? Why should I follow him? Can't I make my own decisions? Why does God matter in my life outside of church on Sunday? Is he going to give me better grades? Will he help me finish my assignments? Is he going to help me earn more money? Why should I listen? Why do I need to pray? Why should I read the scriptures? Why spend more time learning about him, knowing him? Why tell others about him? Why not do what everyone else does? Where is your God? This isn't just a message of the nations. It's a message of our own sinful heart. Can you hear it? It's in your heart too. Because it's a message of humanity's sinfulness. To this message, the psalmist responds again and again with a simple message. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. The psalmist asks God to give his own name glory because we can be quite sure if it was up to us, only to us would glory be given. The psalm now turns to God. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. The nations laugh and mock and say, "Where is your God?" To this question, the psalm have more than enough responses. Just a few. Psalm 2 tells us, "He who sits in the heavens laughs." And Psalm 8 reminds man where he stands. "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him?" The nations and its people can laugh and boast and mock all they like. They have brought a breath, a moment, here one day, gone the next. No matter how smart, how strong, how well you speak, how well you argue, what you do, how many things you achieve, before God, our lives are but a breath. He is so very different from us. He does all that he pleases. Whatever God wants, it shall be, and it shall be good. Where is God? He's in the heavens, bringing glory to his name. The nations mock and laugh and question, "Where is your God?" They don't need to worry. Oh, don't worry or question where God is. He doesn't need your sympathy. There's bigger fish for the nations to fry. The nations are the ones that are in trouble. To them, those who mock and laugh at God, the psalmist now turns. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. Here in Sydney, where you guys live, physical carved idols may not be as common as they used to be. Yet there are still plenty of places in the world where you can see such creations. Where my family is from in China, for example, you don't have to go too far to find places filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of carvings of idols, Buddhas, creatures. Perhaps you've been at a place like this yourself, because nowadays they also serve as tourist locations, areas where you can visit and walk around through paved streets with idols carved into the walls, into mountainsides, into crevices, or caves, or perched inside wooden temples or houses. The faded carvings from hundreds of years ago are no longer worshipped much. Their features eroded by water and wind and time. But even now, new, even bigger carvings of gods and Buddhas and various other idols are still being carved and still being displayed in even bigger temples which are being built. A remnant of a tradition and a culture no longer popular, but certainly still present. And indeed, even the things that people worship and the things that people ask for remain the same. For good health, for blessing, for wealth, for success, for family, for protection. They present these requests to creatures made of human hands, idols carved out of metal and stone, with eyes that can't see them, ears that can't hear them, noses that can't smell the incense they offer, mouths that can't respond, hands that cannot feel, feet that do not walk. Powerless. Frozen. No power to fulfill any of the wishes those who worship them ask for. Yet the people ask nonetheless. They become like the idols. As they trust in these frozen, unmoving idols they've carved with their own hands, they become just like them. Eyes that cannot see. The idols remain unmoving in front of them, as powerless as the rocks they are carved out of. Nothing they see will last. All that they ask for will fade away. Ears that can't hear. No reason or truth can reach them. The idols have no voice, and so the people who worship stop using their ears. They can't hear anything either. The only voice which they can hear is their own, which soon disappears as well. Noses that can't smell. The difference between what is fresh and what is rotting disappears. What is good, what is bad, it's all the same. It loses its distinction. The idols can't smell, and those, and they receive every request that the worshipper asks for equally. And the one who worships loses their sense of smell as well. They can't tell. Their selfish desires only grow and stink more and more. Mouths which can't respond, hands that cannot feel, feet that cannot walk. The worshippers become like the idols. Their words carry no value. Their hands can do nothing worthwhile. Their feet carry them nowhere worth going. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Why do they continue to ask? Because there are things they want. The worshippers want something. And soon the things they want become the things that are right, the things they must have in their own eyes. They worship the idols they have made with their own hands, built in their own image. Powerless idols with no strength or power of their own, but a reflection of the ones who made them, a reflection of the sin of man. These idols fulfill the desires of the people who make them. Their own desire, not just to be man, but to be God. And of course the idols are worshipped and are meant to fulfill your every desire. Because we humans create them to do exactly that. And soon the worshippers become exactly like the very things they make. A medium for every selfish desire, yet completely powerless. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because if we are left on our own, all that we create, all that we want, all that we desire, all that we wish for, it's for our own desires to be fulfilled, to create idols which fulfill our own purposes, give ourselves glory. The nations say, where is their God? As they turn to their own idols to worship, their God is themselves. They have desired nothing but their own power to make themselves God. The only true God looks at the nations, see how small and how powerless the nations are, and laughs. God brings glory to his own name. This is the difference between creator and creation. How absurd is it that the nations would worship idols they make with their own hands? The creator of the idols worships its own creation. In reality, all the nations do, all that man is doing, is worshiping itself. As the one and only true creator looks and laughs at man's pride and arrogance. As powerless as the idols are before man, so much more is man powerless before the one true living creator. What Paul writes in Romans echoes these exact same thoughts. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. It's a choice. Honor God or honor man. Not to us, but to your name give glory. Or will we choose to worship idols made from our very own hands? The verses right before this reveal the fate of those who choose not to look at the Creator, but instead create gods of their own. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. The wrath of God is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And chief among those sins is refusal to worship, to believe, to trust in the Creator. God has revealed himself since the creation of the world in all the things he has made, all of nature, all of reality, all of us. It's easy to ponder and question how strange our existence is, really. Why are we different? Why do we have thoughts, emotions, choices, feelings, a sense of right and wrong, attributes that together make us so different from even the animals around us and the wonder of nature surrounding us? God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been made clear, clearly seen, perceived. Perhaps we should realize that the way we are and the way we marvel and astonished by the world around us is because God has shown them to us and made us this way. We are different because we are made in God's image. We see that creation is incredible because God in the beginning, made it good. We also see our own sin and weakness because we know we fall short, that we are sinners. For the animals, none of this is true. Yet all of these realities, all of these truths are placed in our hearts. For man, we are without excuse. If we worship anything made by human hands, we forget the magnitude of all of creation, of the universe, of ourselves. We treat all of creation as something simple, small, within our understanding and control. We like to fashion ourselves, think of ourselves like gods, as if on our short time on earth, we can understand everything and achieve something that actually matters. It's easy to pretend we can explain the way we are, how everything is, without ever truly having to explain it. When we ignore our God, we become just like the idols. A mouth that cannot speak, eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, hands that cannot feel. So, idols, things carved out of metal and stone. We don't do that anymore. Phew, sigh of relief. Those days are long gone. We don't worship idols and create objects and creatures like we used to. Perhaps that's what you're thinking. No, certainly not. The danger has become far worse. Rather than worshipping idols, we've skipped a step. Now, more than ever, we go straight to worshipping ourselves. What does your day look like? What do we look forward to? What are the ways you solve your problems? What are the new creations we have constructed to turn ourselves away from God and glorify ourselves? You know, even preparing this sermon, it was an excellent reflection on the idols I worship so easily. We can easily look down on the people who turn again and again to physical idols, carvings, which provide nothing and do nothing, and think that's something I would never do. Yet in the same breath, we can turn to the same solutions we always use to our problems. Bringing things before God? Certainly not. Praying to Him? Why would I ever pray outside of Sunday or at meals? Seeking advice and encouragement from other Christians? I don't know. It's kind of awkward to talk about Christian stuff, really. Watching another YouTube video or playing another quick game so that I can just delay and distract myself from the work I need to do. And all that stuff stressing me out? That's something I can do. I know how to do that. You know, when we talk about the word worship, you might think of someone bowing down, looking very somber and serious. Or maybe, since we're largely from Christian circles, it's listening to the sermon on Sunday, or singing hymns and songs, or taking part in the breaking of bread. Yet listen to Paul's words about worship in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. A living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship, not dead, like the idols and those who worship them. Living. And when are you living? All the time, right now. Worship as a Christian is so far different from worship towards idols. It demands your very life, and it's worshipping someone who is living, not dead. Every moment is a moment that can be separated, made holy, given to God. Your time, your choices, your decisions, all of it is part of a living sacrifice. A constant worship before God. It's not passive. Living, by definition, is active. It's listening to God. It's seeking Him out. It's hearing His words. It's enjoying His presence. Worship is not a moment. It's a life. So we can look at idol worshippers who worship physical idols and think, that could never be me. And yet, there's not a single part of our life where God is present. We look here and we look there. All of it is about God present. And if God isn't present, then are we really alive? Or are we just like the idols we worship? If worship involves the entirety, every moment of your life, not just a few hours today, then there are sure a lot of hours during the week where our worship is towards something other than God. Our life is given, entrusted, trusting in something completely different to satisfy us, to fulfill us, to complete us. You know, there are 168 hours every single week. Maybe we can think about how we use them. No, I keep thinking back to the first words in this psalm. Not to us, but to your name give glory. Those words are far from the first words I think every morning. Instead, I'll mindlessly turn to my phone, whether it's to check YouTube or emails or messages. In times of peace, in times of work, in times of stress, in times of rest, for many of us, it's always there, ready to spend time with you. Nothing new under the sun. If you were to study the patterns of the idol worshipper and the phone user, some might start seeing some big similarities, eh? With one big difference, the phone user spends way more time with the phone. Of course, you'll say it's different. We use the phone for different reasons. And not all of those are mindless idol worship. And you'd be right. It is different. But the danger has never been the phone or even the idol. In a very basic way, those are both powerless things. The danger has and always will be the human heart. Both the idol and the phone are only reflections of who we are deep down. The idols of today have different special names, no longer names like Baal and Dagon. Instead, they have names like comfort and pleasure, health and success, wisdom and relationships. These creatures pull at us from every direction, every side, tempting us, waiting for us, calling for us to worship them. They say words like, "You're too stressed. Don't worry about it. You're more important. You need to prioritize yourself. Go on. You can do all this hard work. Put in all the effort. That small pleasure at the end of the week. Live for me these small and temporary pleasures. They will be the reason you live your life, get through every day. Trust me, there's nothing more important than fulfilling your desires. You need to be more healthy. That's all you really need, actually. That's the thing that matters most. Most important thing is to be healthy and enjoy your life. There's actually nothing more important. Actually, you need to be successful, get enough money, a nice job, a nice family. That's what you really need. Those are the things you should live for. Those should be your goals and your aim in life. All the other stuff, that's not too important. And certainly keep a good head above your shoulders. You know, make sure you do the right thing. Be smart. Listen to what other smart people do. And what they do, make wise choices. That's the secret to life. How do you know if a voice is the voice of an idol? A voice from within your own sinful heart, or something else? Well, here's the reality of all those voices I just shared. Not for a moment do they mention or glorify God. Not for a moment do they mention Jesus, his death and resurrection. None of them confess that Jesus is the Son of God sent to die for us, and by him alone we have true life, true salvation, and true worship. Not for a moment do those words ring out, "Not to us, but to your name give glory." Not a moment do you hear those words when those idols speak. You know, you might say to me, "I don't really hear those voices. Those voices of those idols you mentioned. I don't really have them, actually." Then you must be especially careful, because the voice is all around you. The world, even people close to you, will say these things over and over again. But even more dangerous, these voices are often within, hiding within, convincing you that nothing is wrong, saying "well done" to every choice you make, whispering, telling you the same voice: "You can be your own God." In reality, these things, these new idols, they have no voice. Remember, it's our own sinful heart echoing its voice back to us, hearing the things we want to hear. These idols are just the medium. The idol, the true idol, is within. We will do anything, believe anything, trust anything, if it means that we forget about, reject, choose against following God. Anything so that the glory is to ourselves, not to Him. You know, it's not about how much time you spend, how much you pray, how much you read the Bible. It's about living a life where God is present. Always. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. You can only do that if God is with you. Always. At this point, let's read the rest of the psalm. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase. You and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, praise the Lord. Let us dwell on these final words. The dead do not praise the Lord, only those who are living, a living sacrifice. Those who make idols, worship them, trust in them, become like them. Dead, they cannot worship or praise the Lord. It is the living, those who live each hour of every day saying, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. These are the living, and they are given by God the honor and privilege to bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In the words of Jesus, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you worship idols of any form and think that they will give you what you want, what you need, you will become just like them. Dead. Because the idols are as powerless as we are. They are a reflection of who we are, our own sinful hearts. But here's an encouragement to close. Just as we become like the idols we worship, the opposite is also true. The more we worship God, the more we spend time with Him, treasure Him, let Him into our lives, the more we become like Christ. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, calls us jars of clay filled with treasure, the glorious treasure that we have known the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is how God has brought glory to his own name. And as we worship God, we become imitators of Christ, not our lives, which are powerless and dead. His life, alive, glorious. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Praise the Lord. Let's pray to close. Lord, not to us, not to us, but to your name give glory. Let this message be within our hearts and within our lives every hour that we walk. Let us honor and glorify you, because this is the only way of life. This is the only way we are not like the idols, dead, without strength or value or power. Let us trust in you alone and trust in your strength. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.